I mean, Adam might want to come in here. Yeah, it's a very difficult situation. Any piece of transport infrastructure, when you're making that business case, there are financial benefits and there are non-financial benefits. And I think the guidance it's not able to capture those non-financial benefits. Where there are opportunities, it does identify where you would necessarily undertake those financial calculations to create a benefit cost ratio or value for money. So for instance, we are keen to understand if you had a mobility hub in a rural community and that mobility hub was providing services beyond transport. So it could be you're providing library services or you're providing a health centre. Now, traditional transport assessment doesn't necessarily capture those non-financial benefits, and at the moment we don't necessarily have a mechanism for doing that. I think in all of this there is an appreciation that you are delivering non-financial benefits, but there might not be the evidence to prove in terms of facts and figures. So it is a difficult question, and I don't think we necessarily have the answers. But when we do have that information, we have tried to identify how practitioners might calculate that. It's not going to do anything. But as I said, the scale is relatively small, and East West Rail, for example, as we've mentioned, making that case for investment, that struggles as well when you're making a large scale transport infrastructure. HS2, for example, it has economic benefits, but it also has non-financial benefits. And in terms of that political understanding and that debate about transport infrastructure, I don't think we necessarily have all the answers. I don't know if you want to add there, Adam.